respect is what we hoped we would get when we went to serve our nation, but as we have learned, respect in medical care remains elusive. There have been some improvements and changes over time, but it seems to continue on in the nightmare for us all. Well, let's talk a little bit about this. And one of the main contaminants at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and Ray, you're right there at Camp Lejeune, is trichloroethylene and all these other things that contaminated the air, water, and the soil around Camp Lejeune, and also right here at Chanute, former Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, Illinois. And that goes on down to Thomasboro, Illinois, and on down to all the area in Champaign County. Ray, with all the contaminants at all these bases from military operations and the ongoing denials and denials and denials, and then all of a sudden, oh my, we better do something about it. It's real. How does the veteran feel about this?
Well, sometimes I guess we feel like we've been, put in the dark. And then, there's a master sergeant at Camp Lejeune, a retired master sergeant. And he's actually created an organization to try it and get into the, to the workings of what is going on in here. And, the name of it is The Few, The Proud, and The Forgotten. And they're seeking compensation for a lot of this that's going on. So it has it's grown a lot of groups that are trying to come out and trying to promote, trying to get the government really to pay the compensation, and they finally started doing that. So that's a good thing.
But March 14th, this show will be aired in a few days, so we're doing another Wednesday. But on March 14th, which is just, about a week ago, the U.S. Department of Veterans Affairs finally acknowledged, and this is presumption of service connection, applies to active duty reserve and National Guard members who served at Camp Lejeune for a minimum of 30 days, pretty much for the whole time, okay? The following medical conditions are automatically granted service connection: adult leukemia, aplastic anemia, and mild dysplastic syndromes, bladder cancer, kidney cancer, liver cancer, multiple myeloma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and Parkinson's disease. These have ravaged the military and the civilian populations at both Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and right here in Rantoul, Illinois. As you know, a member of our own team, the guy that was a safety director at Chanute before it closed, the founder of the Air Museum at Chanute, the guy that was director of the entire airfield after the base closed, is now permanently disabled and paralyzed from the chest down from Parkinson's disease. And as you know, another member of our team that did all the teaching out here was confirmed with bone cancer just about a week ago. I can't even imagine the problems and everything is happening for so many years and so many denials, like Agent Orange. Agent Orange was sprayed all over us in Vietnam. It was sprayed all over us in Thailand and Laos and Cambodia. We know Agent Orange was used in Korea. And we know Agent Orange was sprayed all over back here at Chanute Air Force Base. Major General Frank Elliott told my wife and I, point to our faces, "We sprayed you, Doug. I'm sorry." And then, as you know, an individual that actually sprayed it, an Air Force NCO that had sprayed it back here at the time when it created this problem, came here and told us, point blank to our face, "I did it, and now I'm dying, and part of my PTSD is to tell the truth."
Doug, there's no telling, what the real numbers would be if we knew the mortality rate of what's taking place here, because this master sergeant, retired master sergeant, that's created this one particular group, what motivated him was his 9-year-old daughter had leukemia and she died. And they suspect it came from those leaking tanks, because it's quite a long time ago. But it's been going on a long time. And, with the diseases of today, and it seems everything is just out of, the statistics are higher than they've ever been. We don't know what we've been drinking, what we've been breathing, what we've been eating. You just don't know. And North Carolina's really got a high rate of cancer, always has. And, it's a very farming state, too. And it's no telling what we've, you know, taken into our bodies and ingested, and just through the pharmaceutical, or not pharmaceutical, but from the, you know, chemicals that we've got used in the farming industry and different things. And so the ground is really suffering today. And, you know, they're trying to turn it around, but it's such a hard thing to turn around because the damage has been done.
Well, when we look at the military operations across the nation, right here at Snute Air Force Base, right there at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, I've been to base after base, they left an environmental catastrophe because of the misuse of chemical compounds, organic, inorganic compounds, all of the incredible nuclear, biological, chemical warfare, explosive training that was required for deployment, especially, you know, since Operation Desert Storm and forward. And they've left a tragic waste. I mean, when we look at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, we look at the environmental reports, the trichloroethylene, not only in the water, it's in the soil, it's all over the place, because it got spilled during military operations in the soil, and it leached its way into the water supply. That's what's happened right here at Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, Illinois. I mean, when you look at the ATSDR report for Chanute Air Force Base, from 2008, 2009, it totally confirms it all the way into Wisconsin aquifer, and it got spilled during military operations. And now what they've done all over the place is they've allowed farmers to come in and farm the land. They look high school kids on their future Farmers America at Rantoul High School. The Air Force told them it was safe, and they believed them. They went in and put crops in areas right now where the Air Force, as we are speaking, is supposed to be doing an environmental assessment and cleanup of World War II, Korean War, nuclear and biological chemical warfare training site. And there's no medical monitoring for the military personnel. There's no medical monitoring for the civilians affected, because it doesn't stop at a gate or a base or a fence line. It goes all over creation.
Yeah. Well, you know, in North Carolina, not only are we a farming state, but we're a heavy military state. So we got air bases. We got, you know, just all kind of land bases. We got just a lot of different types, all four, actually, or all five, really, branches of service operating in North Carolina. So you have that contaminants. But then you have the farming contaminants that's put into the soil, put into the air, people breathing things all the time. And no wonder we have such a high rate of leukemia and cancer in this country. And wherever you go, whatever bases you are, you know, on this program, we've had people from Hawaii and, you know, different places where the bases are really, over a period of time, began to, you know, people began to find out why in the world were people so sick. And come to find out, it's because of the bombing ranges, because of so much air traffic. It's really created a nightmare for a lot of people.
Here at Chanute Air Force Base, we did all the fire training and rescue training, obviously, and all the missile work and everything else. So all the contaminants were left here. And I know when we were doing prior to Desert Storm, our team had to do the NVC training under the 4th U.S. Army Command Assistance Team, because we absolutely knew prior to Desert Storm, Iraq had chemical weapons and biological weapons, because the United States Army shipped them to them. I mean, that's why that we knew we had to get the anthrax vaccine, because the United States Army of Fort Detrick, Maryland, shipped the weaponized anthrax to Iraq to use on the Iranians and the Iraqi Kurds, and then they used it on us.
Yeah. It's been everywhere. We've used it throughout the world, you know, and we've been ingesting this stuff the whole time. And I always think back to the time when I worked at a plastics manufacturer, and you couldn't see a really any smoke coming off the plastic, but if you looked up in the lights of the building, you could see a kind of a fog up in the lights. And come to find out, over a period of time, people began to have lung cancer and leukemia, and different things were kicking in, and the very things that we found, you know, that you've been talking about today, they started finding all those diseases. And then they came out with a thing that said what we were having was they consider it meat cutters asthma. That's what they call it. And if you go into a meat department of a grocery store, you'll see the guy back there wrapping meat. And when he has a hot wire, and when he pushes that cellophane against that, it gives off just a little bit of smoke. and you don't even think about it. But the whole time you're ingesting that, you're breathing that into your lungs. And our lungs were created for oxygen. And any time we get anything in our lungs other than that, we begin to have effects from that. So, Doug, it's everywhere. You know, we've had a military for the last, 60 years probably that has been upgraded. Sometimes it's been downgraded, but most time it's been upgraded because we believed in freedom through strength. And through that, we've been suffering from things we never anticipated. And I think the government's kind of caught, with their pants down in a sense.
Well, we have all the problems. I mean, when we have the burn pits today, and the most prevalent among Iraqi freedom and enduring freedom thinks is they were burning all the trash and garbage and everything. But as you know, that began during Operation Desert Storm when General Franks ordered myself and my team to go clean up the 7th Corps hazardous waste dump in Iraq and throughout Saudi Arabia. And they started burning it. I mean, they didn't, at that time, they didn't think about it. They didn't consider it. We put all the warnings out, and they didn't take the warnings. And it created a medical disaster. And now when we look at it, we've got over 1 million U.S. military casualties, absolutely not caused by enemy engagements or a bomb or a bullet or an explosive, but caused by complex toxic exposures from chemical compounds, biological materials, radiological materials used in industry that we blew up, used in agriculture that we blew up and dispersed and used ourselves, in medical facilities that were released. And I'm beside myself. I don't know which way to go because, I mean, I and all of us are suffering with medical problems directly related to exposures to Schnooten Air Force Base and everything else. But then the other part that goes on, and you've seen the writings and the warnings and the requests I made, it's 30 years ago when our specialized team, again, from the University of Illinois Police Department, from the 330th Medical Brigade, from the Urbana Police Fire Department, Champaign Police and Fire Department, where we cleaned up chemical weapons from the United States Air Force at Chinook that had been used on the civilian population and the students at the University of Illinois during the Vietnam War riots. And they buried these out in East Main and Urbana. We recovered a lot, but we're still concerned and convinced that there's more out there. But as you've seen, the Air Force says and denies it, says, well, Doug and his guys, Rollo and all those guys, Bill Clayton, they all didn't do it. Well, Paul is dead. Joe is dead. The colonel is dead.
Yeah.
We just buried another team member 4 weeks ago is dead. We've had wives that have died from cancer, cross-contamination, and everybody else is sick. When does the nightmare end, Ray? When does it end? When do people acknowledge what has happened? And, well, we did it. We can't change what happened, but now we got to clean up the environment, provide medical care to everybody that's affected.
Well, what we're in discussion today is, we've been in it for a while, too, but the national health care system, because I don't think the government can clean it up. I don't think they're going to own up to it. Matter of fact, I was reading about the master sergeant at Camp Lejeune, and the thing about it is they gave you about 8 or 9 different things, effects of what these chemicals have done at Camp Lejeune, and they're talking about some 900,000 workers at Camp Lejeune. That's how many people were affected by this water contamination. But they don't exactly know how, and they also don't know how many other diseases have been caused from this. So this some of these organizations that are trying to find out and stay behind the government to find out how many other diseases or what has been going on with people and how many people they're overlooking. And so, yeah, they picked out these, but maybe there's some more out there. And so maybe they're not the way they're going to solve this problem, Doug, is to create a health system that everybody can be a part of, and we can all get treatment. That'd be wonderful, But it's not going to work that way, so we understand that, too. But that could be part of the motivation. Say that again, Doug.
Ray, I'm not sure when the nightmare will end, because not only were the military personnel affected and their family members affected, say, for example, Camp Bragg, Fort Bragg, North Carolina, the cancer rates in the wives with breast cancer and the cancers in and around the installation are staggering. That's affected my family, my friends.
Right.
And as we all know, and was, you know, totally confirmed, they just fired the commander and everybody at WOMAC because of the medical disaster at Fort Bragg with the 82nd Airborne. But where's the accountability?
Well, you know, you wrote something, Doug, and it was called Reckless Conduct. And it was like, this is awesome because it holds people responsible. And I understand some things were just accidental, maybe. They didn't understand it. And I was reading about Camp Lejeune, and it was talking about it was unintended. They never meant for it to happen. It happened from leaking fuel tanks on the base, and then off-base dry cleaner solvents were being released into the ground. And I suppose they've tried to fix it by putting above-ground containers now so you can see what they're doing, and that's probably helped a great deal. But these toxins were not limited to just drinking water. And we don't know exactly how many people and civilians around Camp Lejeune have been affected by these things because it began to go through water systems in the ground. It went everywhere, and we just don't know the effects of it. So where does it end? I don't know, Doug. Maybe when we end. I don't know how it's going to end, but we can't let go. And you wrote this thing about, holding them accountable, and you're talking about reckless conduct, a person who causes bodily harm to or endangers the bodily safety of an individual by any means commits reckless conduct. If he performs recklessly the acts which cause the harm and endanger safety, whether they otherwise are lawful or unlawful. And I understand there's things that are unintentional, but it happens. Well, you still got to fix the people. And so they've got to come up with something that's going to help these people not only to identify them, but also to get them treatment. And I hope the government does work on that.
Well, here at Chinook Air Force Base right now, the U.S. Air Force out of Kelly Air Force Base environmental group are trying to do a supposed cleanup at the World War II chemical and nuclear biological chemical warfare training site at the northeast corner of Primer Road and Century Boulevard. They set up their command staff downwind in the downwind pad within the circular radius of a hazard. There is no perimeter security. There is no isolation security. There is absolutely no decontamination station set up. There is no medical station set up. The local ambulance crew has absolutely no training and no equipment for any chemical casualty. We don't know if anything's there, but if there is, it's a nightmare. There's no evacuation plan. There is nothing set up for providing antidote because, as we know, when you get exposed to any nerve or blood or blister agents, you got to administer the antidote within minutes. There is no cavalry that's going to come running. I mean, the cavalry in this area, as you've confirmed and we've seen and confirmed, it was our team under Paul Downs at the University of Illinois Police Department. And there ain't many of the team left alive. And I'm the only one left standing on his feet. The other two members just, they're down. One's trying to get a wheelchair from the VA for 2 months now.
Doug, we know the effects of what is going on. At least we know some of the effects. And some of the people who are being affected by it, and their lives are being not only disrupted, but being destroyed by these things. And I read something just a little while ago, one of the sergeant majors has sent me, and it was about suicide. And suicide in North Carolina is high. And they said 20% of veterans, but we know that active duty reserves and reserves and National Guard, they don't even give those statistics of the active duty because I know for a fact, I'm at Camp Lejeune, I'm getting ready to go tomorrow again. They have a high rate of suicide. But what is the suicide rate for people who have been injured and who have developed these diseases, whose lives have been just, discontinued, and they give up, like Paul Lyons, for instance. He gave up because it seemed as though nobody was listening. And these diseases will take you to the bankruptcy court. They'll steal everything you have, including your motivation, your will to live, your home, everything you have, because you're having to be, you know, catering to everything that's going on in your life, and it robs people. And so what is the numbers with that, too? Because you'd have to add that into the numbers of people who've been infected by this. They talk about 900,000. Well, really? And so we don't know. And how to get rid of it? You know, I think the ground is crying out for help. I don't know, Doug. I don't know how we do it.
You know, when I look at this stuff and everything else and the total disregard, because it gets in the water, the streams, and the air, what we do not know in all these diseases is when will the medical problem manifest itself, because the incubation period is totally different for everybody on all these different exposures. However, when we look at the health effects and the numbers, the sheer numbers of people who have medical problems, the exposures, it's blatantly evident of what has happened. But the same thing with depleted uranium. I mean, I got assigned in 1990-91 to clean up the depleted uranium mess. I did the best I could. I wrote the regulations. We put all the training together. We set up the medical care. And I and my own team, who were their experts, can't get proper optimal medical care. And the guys are dying or dead. And then the average soldier that out here does not understand it, doesn't communicate, doesn't understand what the doctor says, or doesn't understand what we say when we explain to them because of their lack of education and something else. It launches into the moral injury. I mean, you don't want to know and you don't want to accept the evil. You don't know and you know you're sick, but you don't want to accept what caused it. You don't want to talk about it. And then when you try to get the medical documents, like I did at Roundbush, Indiana VA Medical Center yesterday, they can't find them. Or they can find them, and they're denied access to get pull them up to use them.
Well, about 2 years ago, Doug, I took a fall, and I was cleaning my gutters, and I was really so weak I couldn't hardly do anything. But I had a pretty good day, and I had to clean the gutters on my house. We were selling it. And the reason I was selling it, because I had lost so much energy, I couldn't, maintain it any longer. I had been to the VA. They checked my blood. They did different things. But about 2 weeks after they checked my blood, I took a fall. I shattered my wrist, both wrists, and they got me to the hospital, and they checked my blood, and they said my hemoglobin was at 5. And so they put me in for 8 units of blood. That's a lot of blood when you're not bleeding, too. And so when I got out, I called the nurse at the VA who took my blood that day. This is like 2.5 weeks later. And I asked him, why didn't he let me know how my blood was? He said, oh, I forgot to let you know. I forgot to notify you. Now, the point of that was they thought I had leukemia. I don't know what happened. They thought that I was not making blood in my body. But the VA failed to let me know so I could get to a hospital and get fixed. Okay, that's one part of it. But the other part of it, they never figured out why my blood quit doing that, and they really thought I had leukemia. I don't know what transpired. It began working after I got some blood in me. It began to create blood again. But, you know, it could have come with something out of that water contamination. It could have happened. It could have been leukemia. It could have been anything. Because this stuff lies dormant for a long time, and then it seems to come alive with you. And, you know, and so we don't know what in the world caused this thing sometimes, and they don't give you any answers. And sometimes the VA just, they forget to notify you. That nurse and that doctor had to look at my blood chart that day. They took my blood, and they just forgot to let me know. So I don't know, Doug. I guess we have to really... Matter of fact, they said it was my fault because I should have called them back. And I was like, I didn't even know I had a problem. You know, you never told me that. So anyway, Doug, I think many times we're left out here to try to figure it out ourselves and try, if we don't hold somebody accountable or if we don't go out there and push ourselves and ask them to check my blood, please check my blood. There's been times since that time that I've gone to have my blood checked and they didn't want to check my blood. And I convinced them I wanted that blood check because they almost killed me one time. And so I guess it comes down to personal motivation and getting in there and saying, you are going to look at this. It's your fault. I want something done about it. And we have to make some noise. And I think what you were talking about, holding people accountable because of their actions, I know it's unintentional, many of it, but I'm telling you, it's called reckless conduct. And, you know, it could be reckless homicide for some of these things. But we're losing a lot of people, and somebody's got to own up to this stuff.
You know, it is so frustrating because over the years, and we see all the environmental contamination from industry. I mean, we had in the 60s, and when we were getting into college and going to Vietnam, better living through chemistry. Well, that better living through chemistry has left an environmental and medical catastrophe on our world. And everybody looks for the convenience thing, so they got all these prepared foods with all the preservatives in them. They got all these plastics and all these household materials that are outgassing into the environment. And I picked up a long time ago, and as our senior leaders are all dead now, Colonel Dr. Andres Carnegie Bob, Colonel Dr. Tom Little, Colonel Dr. Howard Weiner, they all said, this is what's doing it, guys. We've contaminated air, water, and soil, military operations, the civilian world, and we've walked away. I mean, we've walked away. And now the next generation is being affected. Here at Chanute Air Force Base in Rantoul, the Air Force lied to the High School of Future Farmers America, said there were no hazards on there. The PFCs are all over the place. The trichloroethylene has been all over the place. Now, as we're speaking, they're talking about nuclear and biological chemical warfare training site. But we knew we did it all over the base. You know, as our colonel who assigned us to do it at Chanute said, hey, they're idiots. You can't get an idiot to admit anything. And then they ask for evidence, and you tell them, and you give them the evidence, and no matter what you give them, they deny, and it's not enough. These guys didn't create it. All they got to do is clean it up and provide medical care to all of us, military and civilians and military families alike, civilian employees of the Department of Defense and the U.S. Air Force, whether it be Camp Lejeune or Chanute Air Force Base or Schofield Barracks in Hawaii, which is a totally contaminated nightmare. We've had those people on this radio show. I mean, Dr. Gary Noll, who owns this network, did incredible documentaries, Killing Our Own. A year ago, February, he wrote an incredible report, totally summarizing all the health and environmental effects of all the exposures. I mean, that's why this radio show is here and dedicated to help the veteran and the family member and the environment. We got to help God help us, don't we, Ray?
Well, you know, God gives you wisdom and God gives you insights and information. He makes things aware to you, but God does expect sometimes for us to respond to that, because we have to end it somehow. You know, even the Bible says that the earth cries out for redemption. I mean, we've got it to a point today. I believe the earth is crying out for redemption because we've contaminated it to such a point that it's almost unsustainable any longer. I mean, what are the next generations going to do? This stuff's going to be around for a million years if nobody does anything about it. And like I said before, I think the national health care system, what they're trying to put into place today and what's been in place, and they're trying to get rid of Obamacare and put in Trump care, whatever they want to call it, they're trying to fix it by saying, okay, if you got a problem, we're going to fix you up. But if they've never owned up to it, you're on your own on that thing. If they would just own up to it and take care of it, a lot of veterans and a lot of people around these cities and all wouldn't be taking money out of their pockets and having to pay for this stuff. But I guess the government is so broke now that, you know, they're trying to fix it, but it's going to cost us to get fixed, and that's a bad thing.
You know, we made the decision to use weapons. We made the decision to blow up the industrial base, the medical base, the agricultural base in all these nations, Iraq, Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, Somalia, the Balkans, Vietnam. I mean, we've left a horrible wake. And then when I wrote the environmental regulations, and you've seen them, Ray, I can send them to everybody. They're posted all over the place. I mean, Dr. Gary Noll included them in his documentaries and what he's talked about, and they're beyond treason. And then they ignore them, deliberately and willfully ignore their own requirements and their regulations. And then they deliberately ignore the medical care that they themselves have ordered and directed to be given to the individual. Evil is evil.
It is. And but, you know, Doug, it's the old adage, ignore it long enough and it will go away. And I'm sure you've heard that many times when you go in and try to hold somebody responsible. When you walk away, I'm sure they look at each other and laugh and say, well, we'll just ignore him one more time. Because you, if you ignore it long enough, it will go away. And I believe that's the attitude of the government today because it's such a huge problem, and it's worldwide. And how do you fix something that you created that bad, that demonstrous? Every weapon that ever has been used in war had to be tried out somewhere. And our bombing rangers all around North Carolina, I mean, they're using the same weapons here as they're going to be using over there, and their citizens are breathing in this mess. So
well, that's what happened to Pukalau, a training area on the main island of Hawaii, and Oahu, Schofield Barracks is messed. And then look at Vieques, Puerto Rico, where the United States Navy totally destroyed Vieques and Salibra and the waters around there. I mean, when I went down there and asked them to clean it up and said, here's the regulations required to clean it up, signed by General Eric Shinseki. Yeah, granted, I wrote him, but hey, you know, as you know, the military denies that I was even there or did it or wrote him. And then Shinseki and all the generals, they just ignore what they had. I mean, when you have General Peake, who was a VA secretary before Shinseki, he signed the orders for our medical care, as Shinseki did back in 93, as Shinseki did in 2002. So they know what they need to do, but they just ignore it, and they don't make their own staffs comply with it. I mean, for me, the moral injury and the depth of the wounding and the fact that they knew and they ignored their own requirements that they asked us to put in place. Am I making
well, Doug,
any
you know,
sense here at all?
Times, well, when you were in Gulf War, you've said it many times before, and you know, I empathize with you and sympathize with you, but you talked about, because you were a major, is that you had to carry out certain orders that you knew were wrong, and that's part of what moral injury is about. But you were having to do things that, you know, you knew better. But being you were under orders, you were forced to do certain things. And a lot of these, like active duty and some of these generals and such that are doing, they know it's wrong, but it's not their place to correct it. Their place is to, you know, do or die. And so they're going to do it. They're trying to do their job. They're trying to, you know, follow orders. If somebody up the road somewhere or down the road that needs to fix this thing, all I'm going to do is just do what I'm supposed to do. And they're not worried about the consequences of it. And so, you know, when you try to blow your enemy up and everything blows back in your face, or what I, you know, one of the things I deal with in moral injury is friendly fire. Friendly fire comes in a lot of different ways. And friendly fire can be when you call artillery on your own selves, or it could be that your men were hit by the very things that you intended for somebody else. And I think that's what's happened so much of the time is friendly fire. And in every case of friendly fire, people, they run for cover. They don't want to take the responsibility for it. And a lot of this stuff is basically friendly fire of where we had a lot of collateral damage, and nobody wants to own up to it.
You know, when we talked about it, when we did the actions, we were ordered to clean it up and do all this stuff and develop these things. We did them because we needed it for wartime. We did it, and we saved lives. Because if we didn't take responsibility and enact to get this stuff done, a lot more would have died. So I don't have any problem with that at all. In fact, I'm glad about it. It's a simple fact that now we see the health effects as defined and confirmed in the clinician guide to Gulf War illness. I mean, absolutely confirms, here are the health effects from DU, here are the health effects from anthrax, here are the health effects from larium, the anti-malarial drugs. I mean, you came down with malaria, Ray. I mean, I ate larium, and now as they confirmed, my balance system is gone. And the newest research from the VA confirms that larium destroys the balance system of the inner ear.
I guess we're going to have it until we go out of here, Doug. I mean, malaria comes back on me every once in a while. And, I don't I don't have the same effects as far as the tremendously high fever and all, but I have a lot of fever and I ache and everything is just as real as it was the first time. And so I don't even know how that works, Doug. I don't know how it stays in your system for the rest of your life and how it comes back on you at certain periods of time. And so if we understood that, maybe we could avoid it a little bit more. But you've got things in your body that you've been carrying a long time. It's not going to go away. It just shows up once in a while. And it may be when you get weak or when you get tired or something that it began to rise up within you. And so how do you fix that? I mean, I can't sit around taking quinine all the time. But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. You know, they said that the Vietnamese, North Vietnamese, lost about 1 million people due to malaria during the Vietnam War. So everybody suffers in this, not one side. I used to teach my martial arts students, nobody ever wins a war. Just one side loses more than the other. And on these wars we've had, oh, we won some of them and we lost some of them. But I'm telling you, the people have lost on these things, and it continues to be lost.
The environment is so messed up, and the denials of care when the evidence is there. For example, the U.S. Army CHIPM Manual 238 confirms for all the inorganic or organic compounds, all the physiological effects from known exposures. The medical documents are there, medical information is out there. But as you know, when you try to get that medical information, the documents from the military, DOD or the VA, they deny that they exist and they won't even go looking for them. And when I've taken them and handed copies to them directly to them, they've thrown it back in my face.
Yeah, I mean, they try to make you look like a fool, and that causes more moral injury because you know it's right, but they deny it. You know, one of the most telling things I ever did when I was smoking so much, I worked in an office building and working with computer programmers many years ago, and but everybody smoked in this particular room because it was air-conditioned in this room, and you had to keep a constant temperature for the computers and such. And so people used to come from the outside into that room, and they'd smoke. And so I smoked a lot of cigarettes. But someone one time said, take a good, and we've done it, we've talked about it millions of times probably but over the years, but you take a good drag off of a cigarette, and then you blow it into a napkin, a white napkin or something of such, and it leaves a brownish or a black-looking tint. It's that tar. It's that nicotine and stuff. And so we don't understand. We think you try to tell a smoker it's bad to smoke, and they may deny that, and they'll say, well, I enjoy it, and there's no problem in it. But then you do a test like that, and you see for yourself what's going inside of your lungs, it'll make you think a little bit. If we could all just know what we're breathing day by day, I tell you what, you see Japan, they're walking around with gas masks on all the time. We don't want to do nothing like that, because of pollution and stuff. But we don't realize what we're ingesting in our bodies, and that most of it came through military use, through practicing in our country so we could go somewhere else and use this stuff. I don't know how you fix that. Find a deserted island somewhere. I don't know how they fix that. But we have spent a lot of time, you know, preparing for war. And Rome fell because they got so like an inch deep and a mile wide, trying to take over everything and trying to police everybody, as they lost their nation. And if we don't get hold of this stuff, we're going to lose this nation too.
I am so tired because the elected leaders seem to ignore, and they say, well, you know, go ahead and try to work on it. But when I ask the elected leaders here to help me force the Air Force to comply with their own requirements, they don't want to do it. I mean, there's the economic loss. If we acknowledge this, the economics all disappear. Well, if you don't clean it all up and provide medical care, it ain't going to be done anyhow. You're not going to get the economics.
Yeah.
Well,
you know, an investigation or
scary.
If they ever begin to investigate things, it'll take 5 to 10 years to ever come with any kind of a program. And it's just a stalling kind of deal. And I'm serious about when I said this because I'm looking at my own self. If they ignore it long enough, I will go away, Doug, and you will go away, and the problem will remain. I don't know of too many people doing what you do, Doug, as far as getting out there and trying to get people to understand what's going on and what's happened. But I'm telling you, when you go down, there's a lot of people going to go down too. So the only thing I can suggest to you, Doug, and people that have put their lives out there like this, and I'm trying to do it myself, but we got to keep going. And we've got to teach other people to continue this thing once we leave. Because if we don't, the problem will end up killing everybody.
You know, we got to come back to the other thing, too. President Trump has made a big deal about, you know, who's going to be able to come in the country, how they're going to get in here, when they're going to get in here, what poses a threat to us. And you've got, I don't know how individuals are saying, oh, they're no problem, they're just like us. Wait a minute, we went over and totally destroyed their country. We totally destroyed their environment. We're sick. We shot their friends and family. And we think they're going to love us? I mean, if they get an opportunity to get back at us for what we've done to them, they're going to do it. And anybody thinks that they're not is crazy. I mean, I would.
Yeah, I mean, there's a revenge.
Where does it end? We can't totally treat every nation in the world with total disrespect, can't treat God's environment with total disrespect, and deny medical care to all the casualties that have been generated.
Well, Doug, you know, you look at the news sometimes, you'll see that they continually talk about undocumented or illegals coming into this country. And look, we're all immigrants. I mean, we came from somewhere to this country, and I understand all that totally. But the problem is that when you come here, they give you automatic health care, and the people who are paying the taxes to furnish that can't even get the help themselves. And so it's kind of a reverse deal here. Look like to me, you get them paying taxes, first of all, or you get them to participate in the program. But you get so many people in the line that the people who are paying the taxes are the last ones to ask for it. We had insurance in our business one time from a company that would only sell it. That company had a policy. They only sold it to people in business, small business. And the reason was because people in small business will be the last ones that ever goes to the doctor. They'll sit there. They'll be in pain. They'll be in misery. They'll miss work. But they're not going to go to the doctor because it'll take them out of the workforce. And so that's what they capitalize on, was people who in the small business world. And when you have people out here struggling to make ends meet, they're paying taxes too. They're not going to take off work. And it's the people who get it for free will be in there taking advantage of the system. So it's kind of a bad deal. And people are about fed up with that kind of thing. So it's going to end up a real mess before we get past this thing.
I mean, there's a big difference between a legal immigrant and an illegal immigrant. A legal immigrant followed all the guidelines and everything, is welcome to the country, comes here, gets a job, integrates into the thing. And the illegal immigrant comes across, steals, robs, and kills, and murders, and rapes, and everything else, and there's no accountability. And then all of a sudden, you've got a whole group of saying, well, they're just like us. We just got them. They didn't get their Cheerios or the Wheaties or whatever it is. I mean, this is absolute nonsense. And then the retaliation and
people, when they come here and they don't try to get documented, or they don't try to become part of the system, they feel free to do what they want to do. They don't have to do anything they don't want to do. And so it becomes a lawless situation many times. I'm not accusing everybody, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that do that. And anytime you can't be traced, you can do pretty much what you want. I saw up in Maryland on the news, it was a high school up there, and they had that one high school had 19 different languages in that high school. How do you teach classes with 19 different languages of high school students? I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a lot of confusion to me. I don't know. Maybe there's a system there. I don't know, but they were complaining about it, and they were taking a young girl, 14-year-old girl, was raped by two undocumented immigrants. One was 14 and one was 17, I think it was. But, you know, what do we do? What do we do? We've got to get hold of this system, and we've got to get some kind of control over it.
The education system is broken. As a teacher, and I've taught everything from kindergarten through graduate school now, we got less than 20% of the population, the white population in Rantoul area in the same Champaign-Urbana, is at grade level, the white population. When we look at the actual grading and the test results and everything, we got less than 7% of the black population at grade level, and maybe 3-4% of the Hispanic population at grade level. And they're not being educated. They can't read. They can't write. They can't do math. I mean, when I went through all this physics and math and everything years ago, I mean, we've got to remember, we put man on the moon with a slide rule. We didn't have calculators yet. They weren't invented. And now the child can't do math or read or anything because they've got, well, I got the calculator and I don't need to worry about it. But then when the power goes out or the sun doesn't shine, they can't do the problem. Or they don't understand what we're talking about. We're talking about the environmental effects and the human anatomy and physiology and the needs for medical care.
And it all, it's like a big circle. It's all tied together somehow. So if you want to get medical help, you've got to have the money supporting the hospitals and the doctors and the researchers, and somebody's got to pay taxes. The more people you have paying taxes, the better help you, better health care you have. Not only that, but you probably have better health because you're out there contributing to something and you feel better about yourself. But I'm serious. When we don't have the money, when you have more people getting free money than you do people paying taxes, there's going to be a problem there with every service you can think of. Health care and just every program is going to suffer. Right now, Trump is cutting back on a lot of agencies and a lot of things that have been put into place for really poor people, and I understand he's taking a lot of heat too. But the thing about it is, if I've got bills and if I sit down with them, I've got to find somewhere to eliminate to pay the bills. You can't just, you know, if I got cable TV, I'm spending $150 a week to have watch TV, and I can't pay my light bill. Well, guess what's going to be leaving? It's going to be the cable bill. You have to find, and I'm, you know, I don't know how they do this. I don't know how they're going to, how it's fair. We're going to have poor people. They're going to need help. But if more people could get out there and go to work somehow and pay some taxes, maybe the flat tax would be the answer. I don't know. Where everybody would participate and everybody would pay. Maybe that would be the solution. You'd have more research, you'd have more doctors, you'd have more facilities, you have, instead of hospitals shutting down, you'd have hospitals opening up, because we've got to do this, and the economics will be the thing that kills us.
You know, when the education system is so broken and everything, and then they say, well, we got to boost the minimum wage. Well, you know, McDonald's flipping hamburgers was never meant to be a full-time job. That was a fun job for extra money in the summer for high school kids or college kids.
That's right.
And now it's turned around. We've got such a huge proportion of the population does not have an adequate education, even though we've got an incredibly technological development thing. You've got a small portion of everybody that's holding it together. And then the alcohol and drug abuse and the gambling abuse and the, I don't know, here at the University of Illinois, they just offered a basketball coach basically $18 million for 6 years, $3 million to coach the team. And the coach, they're extraordinary coaches, no doubt about it, but they don't play ball. They don't play basketball or football. They don't throw the ball. They don't catch the ball. They don't run with it. Therefore, they can't win the game.
Right.
I mean, when we went to a basketball game here, that's all resulted in new $18 million contract, my five-year-old grandson said, Grandpa, why do they miss so many baskets? Don't they practice enough like I do in the Quonset? Or how come they're falling down all the time and hitting each other? They're supposed to be playing basketball, and they look like they're having a hockey game. When a five-year-old picks up on that, you know there's something really wrong.
It does. You know, I read one time it said a basketball player of Lincoln was, it said, if I miss one practice, my coach knows it. Well, I think I know it. If I miss 2 days, my coach notices. If I miss three practices, everybody notices it. So you've got to practice. You've got to be out there. You've got to learn the game if you're going to play the game, because the guys you're going to be competing with will eat you up and embarrass you in front of everybody. People have to. You know, one of my grandsons was taken to, I think it was Harvard last year. He's 10th grade, and they took him to Harvard, part of a program that they have of taking, you know, young people that have shown a lot of abilities and skills, and they have a head on their shoulders, and they're your grade average, all these things count. And they try to introduce them into the medical field. And they spend about a week, showing them all these kids, all these different ways of the medical research and doctors and just everything you can think with healthcare, so they can help promote them into the medical field. And, you know, the reason is because so many doctors are either dying or they're getting out of the system. It's a broken system and they can't make money. Hospitals are going under because so many people can't pay their bills and the government's real slow about paying bills. And if you don't get the money, the lights get shut off. If you don't have the money, you're going to lose the whole thing before it's over. The doctors are not going to work for free. And so we're losing hospitals. And it comes down to, I think it is personal responsibility. Everybody needs to be participating in this thing. You can't get free all the time. You've got to participate. And so we've got some systems that really need to be fixed. Doug, I want to say one thing about this, too. When they're talking about this cutting back on so many programs and all, I know for a fact, because I live in a military city and state and everything, and we have so many government workers in North Carolina, it's unbelievable, but every state does. But this thing of having about 9 paid holidays every year, that they give them paid days, and some of them are making $40, $45 an hour, and you're giving them free time off, a holiday with pay, and everybody's having to work to pay them. And they could save billions of dollars if they would just give them the holiday and keep the money, use the money for something else. But that's a foolish thing to me. I can't understand that. And I did hear that one of Trump's people, I don't know who it was talking about that very thing. Give people the holiday off. These government workers, give them the holiday off. But do not pay them for them. If they're not working, they don't get paid. And that would, now if you cut out things like that, you might be able to save some money or put some money in some other things. But they've got to do something.
Well, one of the things here in the news this morning in Illinois is the fact that they want to make it a state holiday for Obama's birthday.
Well,
I'm bewildered. I mean, the guy failed us in every tone. He failed us as veterans. He failed us directly. I mean, I briefed him personally, and I asked him to help us, and he didn't. He didn't. He didn't help us. And Paul Lyon's suicide is a perfect thing. They came up the other day, and this thing came from the VA and said, well, we fixed the hotline. Last time I called the hotline, after I was all upset with Paul, you know, 2 years on Paul's suicide, they hung up on me. That's what they did to Paul that night. They hung up on him. And it drove him to suicide. And there's been no accountability for that.
Well, I know that a lot of veterans, I know some veterans and quite a few veterans, that have created their own suicide hotlines. And they actually intervene in those hotlines. I've been participating in those things. And, you know, they've had people from out of state calling North Carolina trying to find, they would call for a hotline or something, and they would refer them to the ones in North Carolina because it was actually veterans who were intervening in the lives of these people. And sometimes they'd be bringing, EMS, or they'd be bringing law enforcement if the guy had a gun, if he was drunk or on drugs or something, and people calling about it. So, Doug, we sit around and we watch it, but I know you're a doer, and I try to be a doer. And I think if more people would become a doer than just sitting around watching things happen and watching them fall apart, we could get this thing fixed, at least get it somewhere in control. But it's going to take everybody's participation in this thing.
You can't sit back and deny that it's there and not do anything. I mean,
no.
I mean, we've got an incredible thing here. I mean, where we started this, let's come back to where we started. Because of the incredible exposure to trichloroethylene to Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, and right here at Chinook Air Force Base and all over, the VA is now providing presumption of service connection for all these diseases. They affect not only the military personnel themselves, they affect the family members of the military personnel, and they affect the civilians in the region, because contamination doesn't stop at a base fence.
Well, Doug,
ability has to be made, and I can't change the past, but I can alter the future on how we respond and what we do. And I guess that's been my role and my dedication. And I get tired of it, as you do and everybody else, when you suffer the retaliation deliberately and willful, or denied care deliberately and willful because we're speaking up. I mean, that's why Rollo can't get his wheelchair. They're retaliating him again for telling him to clean up the chemical weapons in Urbana, Illinois, out in East Maine. Hello?
Yeah, that's right.
When you blow the whistle, you're going to suffer retaliation.
That's true.
That's why they're so mad at President Trump. He can't be paid off, and he can't be bought off, and he can't be intimidated.
Well, you know, I heard a preacher one time talking about, and the guy had cerebral palsy, and so he had a lot of, dysfunctions about him, even his speech, everything. But he was saying about life, and he was saying, you've got to get out there, and you've got to do something. You've got to help people. You've got to serve God. And he said, I have cerebral palsy, and I do it. What's your problem? And I think that would be the message to this country. Okay, people out here struggling. I don't get paid for it. Doug, you don't get paid for it, but we're doing it anyway. What's their problem? Get up and start helping.
You know, there's an attitude today where if it isn't done on work time and it isn't done between 8 and 4, that I'm not going to do it, and if I'm not paid for it, I'm not going to take responsibility and do action. That continue in education, whether it's doctors, lawyers, nurses, educators, or whatever have. I mean, the old thing of taking individual responsibility and being a professional seems to go the way of the dodo bird. And then so many, if there's a slightest hesitation where economic problems or political problems, they start running the other way.
That's true. I mean, you know, we see the problem and we're playing ignorance here. Ignorance is bliss, and we like, I don't want to see it. I don't want to hear about it. Well, it's going to come knocking on your door. And even God's word, you know, goes against those who see. They say if you see a person in trouble and you turn your back and refuse to help him, not only are you going to stand before God, but they say you cease to be a man when you do such things, ignoring people's problems. And this is a problem. We need to fix this thing. The more people that would help you, Doug, you know, you're out there sounding the bell, but if you had another 1,000 people to help you sound the bell, you could make a lot of noise.
The moral injury is the core of this. I mean, when we look at all the stuff that we've done, and it's ignored the health and environmental effects of military operations or the reality of war. I mean, there's no doubt World War II is absolutely essential, but Vietnam didn't pose a threat to it other than the economics and the oil fields and the food production fields we wanted control of. And Desert Storm is the same way. Iraqi freedom, enduring freedom, all based on fraud. I mean, 9-1-1 didn't happen as they claimed. We had the invasion plans written long before that, but we just needed something to scare the American public in order to implement the invasion plans that had in place. The information's out there, the documents are out there. But when you talk to those in charge, they deny it because, well, there's no evidence. I don't have the document. Well, they just simply destroyed the document or hid it. It means that they don't know. It means that they don't have it in their fingertips. So you can't catch them. Well, we're done, ladies and gentlemen. Ray, thank you again. God bless you. Let's see what we can do. Sure. Keep helping the world for God and country and nation and every veteran and every family member. Thank you. God bless you and good evening. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you, Doug.